Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you don't mind, I'm going to skip going through our confession today, maybe possibly next Sunday as well. Since we have Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be, I know there's a lot going on, so we can have a little bit of time to minister the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That confession is powerful. Amen. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, as you can see, I welcome you all. Thank you so much for being with us today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a part of our celebration service. Glory. I want to continue on. As you may have noticed that it seemed it wasn't planned. It wasn't really like we didn't sit down to plan that, but it seemed like the Lord put a plan together that we just honor the name of Jesus today in this service. So I think, you know, from the singing, the praying, the giving, everything, the name of Jesus is featuring very strongly. And I want us to continue on to honor the name of Jesus. I'm going to minister on the spirit of the champion. But I'm going to put a little emphasis on the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody say the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you in this season to continue to remember and to celebrate the name of Jesus. The spirit of the champion is carried in the name of Jesus. The Bible actually tells us there is no other name given amongst men whereby we may be saved. If you look there, right there in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and from verse 10, I think it is, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 4 and from verse 10, this was after the miracle that the disciples had done, and you know, they called them into a place, they were trying to terrorize them and trying to threaten them and telling them, you know, we don't want you continuing to talk about this name. And I want you to listen to Peter. Peter, you remember Peter was the one who the Holy Spirit filled in this moment, and he lifted up his voice and he started to speak to them. Look at it in verse 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name." Somebody say there's no other name.
No other name.
"For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may and we must be saved." Hallelujah. There is no other name. Muhammad won't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Krishna won't do it. Amen. There's only one name. There's only one name. Your best celebrity in Hollywood will not do it. Hallelujah. There's only one name. Your favorite politician won't do it, won't get it done. There's only one name. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 12 again. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved," we must be saved. No other name. The name of Jesus is the most precious gift that the Lord gave to us. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus represents three major things. The name of Jesus represents the identity of Jesus, number one. Number two, The name of Jesus represents the dominion of Jesus. And number three, the name of Jesus represents the divine manifestations of Jesus. Let's take those three things together. Number one, the name of Jesus represents the identity of Jesus. So, there's something here I need to read to you from my note directly. When you represent what Jesus represents, you will receive what Jesus received. When you represent what Jesus represents, you will receive what Jesus received. Why? Because the name of Jesus is the identity of Jesus. Amen. What is your identity? Your identity is what you are known by. Hallelujah. If I call one name in this room right now, and there's only one person known by that name, everybody's going to look in the direction of that person. Why? Because your name represents who you are. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus represents who Jesus is. I love every confession every year. I had to refer back earlier today to one of the lines in our confessions from last year, 2024 confessions. You know, that was, 2024, my year of God, class, exploits, and the year of the fourth man. Well, somewhere there, I think it's the second paragraph in that confession, it says, I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. And I reign with Jesus. The name of Jesus represents the identity of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says we must not carry that name in vain. You can't just call the name of Jesus and expect that that name produces in your life if you don't represent what Jesus represents. Are you listening to me? What Jesus represents is what you receive when you represent the same thing that Jesus represents. When you represent what Jesus represents, you will receive what Jesus receives. Notice here in this scripture, everybody knew that these disciples, many of them were not educated. But there was so much power, so much authority, and so much dominion in their lives that the people had to say, in fact, look at that next verse 14, the verse 13. After it tells us, after Peter said to them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Why? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The name of Jesus is the identity of Jesus. When you represent what the name of Jesus represents, what Jesus received is the same thing you will receive. In this particular circumstance, they knew this man had no... How could they be doing all of this? They were not educated. Number one, how are they getting all this anointing, all this authority to heal somebody who is lame from birth? And then when they call them into a room to try to threaten them, to get them to stop, here is Peter saying, Lord, let it be known to you today. And not just to those of you in this room, but to all the people of Israel. That's if he's on television, this is going to be a national broadcast. Right? That it is by the name of Jesus, the one who was risen from the dead, raised from the dead, that this man stands here whole before you today. Hallelujah. And there is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. They were amazed at the boldness. When you have been with Jesus, Jesus will rub off on you. The name of Jesus represents his identity. Anything Jesus is rubs off on you when you have been with him. Hallelujah. You cannot be with Jesus, this champion, and then you're a wimp. The boldness of Jesus will rub off on you. Have you ever seen Jesus running from anybody? Huh? Some of you can't even stand ants in the house. Spiders. The boldness of Jesus was upon the disciples. I'm just trying to loosen you up a little bit. That one was not in my note. I just want to loosen you up a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to relax and enjoy as we talk about the name of Jesus. Glory to God as we celebrate the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, tell somebody else, say, there is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Sickness bows at the name of Jesus. He is our champion. Hallelujah. He's never lost a fight. Glory to God. When you call the name of Jesus, something happens. Somebody wrote that song several years ago. When something happens when you call the name of Jesus. Something must change. Something must be reversed. Something must be turned around. Something must happen when you call the name of Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus represents the identity of Jesus. Wherever the name of Jesus is, the identity of Jesus is right there. Jesus isn't just one powerless being who had a lot of bowls, who had a lot of talk and died and nothing happened after he died. No, like we heard during the offering, if you go to that tomb where he was buried, there is nothing there, it's empty. He's risen from the dead. The name of Jesus represents his identity. The name of Jesus also represents his dominion. There is authority in the name of Jesus. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead, one of the things he said to those disciples, he says, go everywhere, go into all the world, Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why from time to time, we must take time to talk about the relevance and the significance of who Jesus is so that the world can know. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at what he says in verse 16. And he that is believed and is baptized shall be saved. But he that does not believe will be damned. Look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. The name of Jesus represents the dominion of Jesus. In my name. When you call the name of Jesus, something happens. Look at it. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Go on to verse 18, thank you. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The dominion of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. Something will change in that situation when you call the name of Jesus upon it. I don't care how thick the darkness. There may be somebody listening to me here today. Or maybe virtual online. And there is a cloud of darkness around you. Well, I'm here to let you know, when you call the name of Jesus,
Darkness has to recede. The Bible says in the beginning, John chapter 1 from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light, verse 5, that light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot hold it back. He says darkness cannot comprehend it. No matter how thick the darkness is, when the name of Jesus is spoken, darkness has to recede. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, you remember that scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's read the whole thing. I know we always, we're talking about the spirit of the champion. We always read verse 6. We jump all the way to verse 6. But I want you to read the whole thing. Just read from verse 1 all the way to verse 6 and 7 today. And let's just, it will be on the screen over there. Let's read it together. And let's read it, you know, let's read it from the Amplified version. Hallelujah. When the name of Jesus comes, light comes. No matter how thick the darkness, when the name of Jesus is declared, the light of God shines in that darkness. Look at it. But, look at it from Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 1 in the Amplified. But in the midst of judgment, there is the promise and certainty of the Lord's deliverance. I love it. I love it. In the midst of judgment, there is the promise and certainty of the Lord's deliverance. Yeah. That is, if there is anyone who is under the heavy yoke of the enemy and suffering in some measure of darkness or the other, under some satanic judgment or oppression, when the name of Jesus comes, there is deliverance. Somebody said there is deliverance. And notice, it's a certainty. That is, the name of Jesus brings deliverance for sure. There is no one under any yoke who comes under the authority of the name of Jesus who does not become set free. In the midst of judgment, there is the promise and certainty of the Lord's deliverance, and there shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. No matter the anguish you have been in, no matter the oppression you have been suffering, no matter the difficulty and the distress that you have been exposed to, the Bible said there shall be no anguish for her. No gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought contempt into the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, these times, He will make it glorious by the way of the Sea of Galilee, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. Somebody said there will be deliverance. Look at the second verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Where did the light come from? From Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus brings light. No matter how thick the darkness, no matter how thick the confusion, the name of Jesus brings light. He said, those who have dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Somebody is listening to me somewhere today. Who is under the shadow of death? Well, the light of God is bringing supernatural release into your life today in the name of Jesus. As we raise up the name of Jesus, as we celebrate the name of Jesus, there is a dissipation of every darkness that has held you captive. Let's go on to the next verse. He says, you, Lord, you have multiplied the nation. you have increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. Go on to the next verse. For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or the rod for goading their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Gideon of Midian. How is all this happening? It's happening by the name of Jesus. Do you remember what happens in the day of Gideon? As in Midian, he says, go back, just go back one verse right there and put that up, because it's easy. This amplifier sometimes breaks it so much. By the time you get to the end, you are trying to connect one to the other. Put that up in the NKJV, just that verse, verse 4. For you have broken the yoke, thank you. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. When the name of Jesus comes, the name of Jesus releases every oppression of the devil, like it happened in the day of Midian. Well, what happened in the day of Midian? In the day of, like the Amplified calls it, you can go back to the Amplified. Like the Amplified called it, in the day of Gideon of Midian. Well, what happened in the day of Gideon of Midian? You remember what happened? The day of Gideon with Midian. You remember what happened? What happened? There was so much oppression. The people were suffering. They didn't know where their deliverance was going to come from. And the Lord sent an angel to this gentleman named Gideon. And the Lord said to him, you, God is going to use you to deliver these people. You are a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, me? He looked behind him, whether God was speaking to somebody else. God said, no, you, Gideon. He didn't believe, he couldn't receive it. So you know, he asked for a sign. God showed him a sign. Then, you know, then the Lord told him, he said, go in the night and go around the camp of the enemy, and you are going to see something that will strengthen you. I love the way God works sometimes. You know, sometimes when you are going through difficulty and everything is not working, you heard the word of God, you know, you believe it, but somehow it's just still not clicking for you. It's like, I believe this word, but God knows you need one extra oomph. Sometimes God sends something, just sends something out of the blue. You know, somebody can say something to you that knew nothing about what you were dealing with, and that you know, oh, that's the oomph I've been waiting on. It's still the same word of God that they gave you, but it was so totally disconnected from your everyday reality, you knew that could only have been God. So God said to Gideon, go around the camp. So go around, the Lord said this, go around the camp of the enemy, and something will happen when you get around the camp of the enemy that will strengthen your hands. Somebody's hands have been strengthened today. Somebody is receiving strength today. Somebody is receiving supernatural empowerment today. Amen. It's the name of Jesus, but God is giving you an additional sign. Yes. He's reading your story right here, and he's sending you a word from his throne room to strengthen your hand. You are a champion. The spirit of a champion is upon you. You are not going to lose this battle. You are not going to lose this fight. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Hallelujah. He said to Gideon, go. And then Gideon snuck. He said, well, and the Lord even told him, he said, well, if you are afraid to go by yourself, take your servant. So Gideon went around the camp in the night. And the camp of Midian, there were so many people, multitudes of people, that could not be counted. And when he arrived in the camp, at the moment that he arrived there, that he started to look, mind you, it was in the middle of the night. The camp quietened. Somebody said, I had a dream. It's a very unusual dream. And he relayed his dream, what the dream he had. And one interpreter for the dream said, That's the sword of Gideon. That at the time that Gideon arrived at the camp, they were talking about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is truly awesome. I said, God is truly awesome. The same moment there, that tells you it was not a coincidence. And when Gideon heard his name, the Bible says his hands became strengthened. God is strengthening your hands today. I said, God is strengthening your hands today. You were almost giving up, but God is sending a word to let you know you have the spirit of the champion. There is no giving up in your story. There is no giving up in your story. Hallelujah. Go back right there to Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 6. Just like it happened in the day of Gideon with Midian, go on to the next verse. For every trampling, warriors wore boots, and all his armor in the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. This is like that scripture in Isaiah, chapter 54, where it says, no weapon that is fashioned against you will ever prosper. It cannot prosper. It cannot stand. I don't care where it is cooked. I don't care where the weapon is designed. I don't care where it is prepared. You remember in that Isaiah 54, God said, I am the one who made. I'm the one who made the one who's making the weapon. I have the ultimate answer. And no weapon that is fashioned against you will ever prosper. Somebody say, thank God for the name of Jesus. All you need to do, call the name of Jesus. No weapon that is fashioned against you will ever prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go on to the next verse. Ah, hallelujah. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Go on to the next verse. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this latter time forth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You know, the government of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. The dominion of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. There are three things his name represents. Number one is his identity. Number two is his dominion. And number three is his divine manifestation. What is divine manifestation? What is divine manifestation? Divine manifestation is when something provokes God to show up for you. When something provokes God to show up for you. Well, one of the best example I can find for divine manifestation provoked by the name of God is when David said to Goliath, you remember everybody was hiding during this war, right? And this wannabe champion, Goliath, they called him champion, but he's just a wannabe. He's not really the real deal. And David showed up. And David said to Goliath, I said one thing to Goliath. You come to me with swords and spears in the name of your gods. But I come to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My friends, there's divine manifestation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nothing can withstand the power in the name of Jesus. Nothing. I don't care when you call him. You call him in the midnight hour, he will be there. Something must happen when you call the name of Jesus. You call him in the morning, something must happen when you call the name of Jesus. There's divine manifestation through the name of Jesus. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And then what happened? Divine manifestation. Because how do you explain that somebody has all this artillery, all this armory, all this whatever, and then one little boy has 5 stones, and he throws one of the stones, and the giant is dead? There's no explanation around that. The only way you can describe that is divine manifestation. I said it's divine manifestation. There's something bigger than somebody. You are dealing with something bigger than you. Somebody is listening to me. I don't know if it's in person or it's someone virtual. There's someone dealing with a Goliath in this moment. The name of Jesus. You invoke the name of Jesus continually in this season, and divine manifestation is bound to happen. I said divine manifestation is bound to happen. You remember Moses? Moses said to God, God, when I said to the children of Israel, you sent me, who shall I tell them? He said, tell them, I am that I am. I am that I am is here today. I said, I am that I am is here today. I am that I am will open the Red Sea. I am that I am will cause your enemy to be confused. I am that I am. Do you know what happened? I think I did not get to the end of that Gideon story. I told you what happened, but I didn't get, thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't get to the end of it. Do you know what happened? After Gideon heard his name, the Bible says his hands were strengthened. Suddenly, he got the humph he needed. There's a humph. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. I'm getting goosebumps even as I'm talking about it. There's a supernatural humph that happens, that comes upon you. There's something that happens upon you, happens in your life when you connect with God's supernatural. It happened to Gideon. You remember Gideon started with 32,000 people. Do you remember this story? And God told him, you have too many. You remember this? God said, I'm going to help you trim it down. Because sometimes you think you have support, but you don't really. Those people are just hangers-on. God deliver us from hangers-on. This is a deep prayer. I'm praying it for you. God deliver us from people who love us just because of what they can get from us. I said, God deliver us. I'm praying that prayer for you too. God deliver you from those that are singing your praise just because of what they get from you. Because the day you don't have that food to give them, and you say, somebody asked them, do you know this person? I've never heard the name before, ever. I don't. Gideon had these thousands of people. And God said to Gideon, you have too many. You have too many. Let me help you trim them down. So God started to help him trim them down. One of the first tests, he said, bring them around the water. Say, watch them, those of them who start lapping like dogs. He tells you they have no place in the army. When somebody is so driven by their appetite that their appetite completely eradicates everything else that is important to them in a moment of destiny, like Esau, they don't qualify to be in the army. I don't know about you, money means a lot to all of us. We all need money on this earth, right? Yeah. You can't, if you get out of here, you don't have gas in your car. You need money, Deacon. You can't go to the gas station and say, in the name of Jesus, they will not give you that gas. You need money. Thank you. That's like money right there. The master has need of this. Amen. We need money. Amen. All of us need money. But when your appetite for money becomes so overriding that your covenant becomes meaningless where money is concerned, you are disqualified. You have no place in this army. When something you will eat becomes so important to you that your covenant begins to seem less than what it actually is, you are disqualified. When a need in your life that you want to have met. I was thinking about this just the other day. Like, you know, you cannot throw away the principles of your life just because a need showed up. When we know you are hungry. Everybody's hungry. Remember when Satan said to Jesus after his temptation or after his fasting, he was hungry in the wilderness. He had been fasting 40 days, 40 nights. And Satan came to Jesus and said, "You are hungry." Notice, Jesus didn't say, "I'm not hungry, I bind you, I'm not hungry." He didn't say that. No, he was hungry. We all have needs. Just like if somebody says, "Pastor, you don't know my needs. You just don't understand." I don't need to understand. You have needs, I have needs. All of us have needs.
Right.
Who doesn't have needs? If you don't have needs, you are not. Even God. The Lord had need of this. Isn't that what we read during the offering? Even the Lord had need. The Lord had need of this. The question is not whether we have needs or not. The question is, how are those needs met? Do we suddenly throw away everything that we have believed and everything that we have received from the Lord because we want to meet a need? Do you go off and marry a stupid man just because you have a need to be married? Stupid, godless, uncircumcised Philistine? That's even bad, really, uncircumcised Philistine. That's bad. Do you go marry somebody who is not a covenant person just because you have been waiting for many years to find a godly man to marry, and yet they are not there? You know, there are not many, many godly men. Just look around you. I mean, look everywhere. Look on TV. Look at dating apps. Everywhere. There's no one God. Then, you know, now, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. There is no reason for you to throw away all the principles of your life just because you want to meet a need.
Amen.
Come on now. God is speaking to somebody.
Amen.
God said to Gideon, "There are too many. Many of these people, when they get to war, if the war gets very intense, they will leave. God said, "Let me help you drive them before they go to war." Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Let me help you shake them off.
Amen.
Before they become sheke on your feet. So excuse my language. Deaconess Maria was telling me yesterday after the cleaning, she stopped by around the lounge and she was telling me about this. What was that again? What was that you were? What was this expression I used during one of the teachings in the midweek services? What's that? Hila hilo. Hila hilo. And she was going, she was doing all this hila hilo expression. I'm telling, lie, you got that. Glory to God. Sheke sheke is mean. Sheke sheke is like, somebody tied, it's like you are bound around your feet, like a yoke around your feet. You can't run, you can't fly, you can't walk. Because you are bound by sheke sheke. God is delivering you from every sheke sheke today in the name of Jesus. Some of these sheke, you think they are blessings, but they are not. Somebody can be wearing gold bracelets around their wrist, around their ankle. The thing is for decoration, but it's not really decoration, it's sheke. It's a shackle. Thank you. That's the word. That's the English word, shackle. It's to shackle you so that you can't move. If you are already shackled today, in the name of Jesus, I call you delivered. You are free in this service in the name of Jesus. God said to Gideon, let me set you free from all these sheke-shekes. God deliver us from what appears to be benefits and blessings that are really sheke-shekes. Hindrances from accomplishing destiny. Setbacks waiting to happen. Glory to God. God deliver us from what seems like a miracle, but it's a mirage. It was sent by the serpent. God deliver us from things that seem like they will elevate us in destiny, but they were sent to pull us down. God deliver us. God deliver us. God said to Gideon, let me help you shake them off. You don't need them. There will be a weight to you. God deliver us from weights that will stop us from flying. Hallelujah. Some of those weights are in your mind too. You need to get rid of them. They are in your mind too. The failure to believe God, the failure to believe and to trust God, the failure to be willing to take a step of faith, the failure to be willing to take a risk that is directed by the Holy Spirit can be a hindrance in destiny. Sometimes God needs you to take a risk. Take a chance. I don't have all I need. Good. But you got God. One with God is majority. One with God is majority. I don't have this. You hear the story of many people, but I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. What do you? Do you have God? That's the only thing I want to know. Because if you have God, my friends, you have everything. You have everything. If you have God, if you have God, you have everything. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's the lily of the valley. If you have him, my friends, you have everything. It's the bright morning star. If you have him, you have everything. It's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. If you have him, you have everything. Let's stop talking about what you don't have. My question is, do you have God? Because if you have God, my friends, you got everything. Somebody say, I have all I need. I have God. I have all I need. I have God. I have all I need. Time for you to stop counting heads. Time for you to stop counting how many contacts are on your phone. Time for you to stop counting how many texts you received last week. If you have God, you have everything. Shout hallelujah if you believe it. God said to Gideon, let me help you. Let me help you. And he reduced them all the way to 300. God, when they got to 300, God said, that's all you need. That's all you need. Oh, hallelujah. That's all you need. That's all you need. And with the 300 men, they went and God told them, blow your trumpet. When this happened, blow your trumpet. When they blow their trumpet, something began to happen. Divine manifestation. Does this make sense to you? How do 100 people blow trumpets and millions of people start killing one another without firing one shot? Your enemies will soon fall over themselves. The Bible says, surely they are gathered, but surely they will be scattered for your sake. Surely. Surely. They are gathered together, but for your sake, they will be scattered. they will be scattered. There is an arrow from heaven already making its way into that room where they are gathered. They will be scattered. That arrow from heaven has a poisonous tip that will cause an upheaval in their meeting and in their agreement. Surely on your behalf they will be scattered. The champion is working for you. You have the spirit of the champion. Gideon did not shoot one bullet. He didn't fire one bullet. Not one. He didn't fire one arrow. Not one. God, the El Gibor, he showed up in the camp of the enemy. Glory to God. The Bible says, when they began to blow the trumpet, the Midianites, they started to kill one another. They started to kill one another. They started to kill. Mother will say, you, do I know you? Father, boom. You, son, do I know you? Boom. Daughter, do I know you? Boom. Until God gave them the victory. God is giving you the victory. I say, God is giving you the victory. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Divine manifestation. Divine manifestation. This explains why they were rejoicing. Hallelujah. Why they were rejoicing in Mark chapter 11 from verse 1. When Jesus was riding that donkey. By the way, you know that was the first triumphal entry, but there's a second one coming. I hope you know that. I'm going to close right there. I hope you know there's a second triumphal entry coming. Right? There's a second triumphal entry. And in that second triumphal entry, he didn't need a donkey, my friends. He did not need a donkey. He had a white horse. Glory to God. He rode in majesty. He rode in majesty. And all the angels and all of the people were shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says he has been given a name that is above every other name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I think it is. That at the name of Jesus, what should happen? Every knee must bow. And then what else will happen? Every tongue must confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's our champion. Somebody say, that is our champion. Somebody said, that's our champion. So you now understand when in Mark 11, all those people were following him and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hallelujah. They were celebrating the champion. I said they were celebrating the champion. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close out in that final triumphal entry. But I want to read this first one first. We read it already during the offering, but let's read it one more time. Let's go back there, but let's not read the whole thing. Let's go to Mark 11. Let's read from verse 7. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These services are always very different, you know. You know, Palm Sunday services, Resurrection Sunday services are usually very different because there are certain specific things that the Lord always wants to do. Sometimes it seems almost out of where we're coming from, some of the things that we're doing. And the Lord says, just give me a little room for divine manifestation. Somebody is going to enjoy divine manifestation this week. God is going to show up for you somewhere this week. I don't know who this is, but God is going to show up and he's going to show out for you. Somewhere this week, you are going to go, but I was not expecting that. I didn't know that was going to happen. Well, God is telling you ahead of time, something good is going to happen. Something glorious is going to happen. Something supernatural is going to happen. Shout yes, if you believe it. Woo, glory to God. Oh my, hallelujah. And they brought the colt to Jesus. And they cast their garment on him, and he sat upon the colt, and many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches of the trees, and they strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, help me say, lift up your palm. Say, help me say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Lord wanted me to tell you, they were raising those palms to Jesus, and rightly so, because Jesus was the son of David who was riding on the donkey, and he was the one who came in the name of the Lord. But the Lord wanted me to remind you, you have been given the name of Jesus too. And everywhere you go in the name of the Lord, things are going to be opening up to you. Blessings are going to be flowing around you. The heaven is going to be opening up to you. Shout yes if you believe it. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's close out right here in Revelation chapter 19. That was the first triumphal entry, but there is a second triumphal entry, second and a final triumphal entry that is going to happen. It's more glorious, my friends. Woo. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. You and I are going to be in that train. Hallelujah. I say you and I are going to be in that train. We'll be celebrating all that the name of Jesus did for us on the earth. What is identity accomplished? What is dominion accomplished? What is divine manifestation accomplished? All of us, we are going to be in that train with the angels. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Look at the Revelation 19 from verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon this white horse was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself alone. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it that he should smite the nations, that he should rule them with a rod of iron, and that he should tread upon the witness, the wine presses of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you lift up your palm? Help me celebrate Jesus. Help me stand to your feet. Help me celebrate Jesus. Help me celebrate Jesus. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 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 Hallelujah. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. We lift up his holy name. We bless you, our God. You are worthy. You are mighty.
Come on, let's close this service right. Go ahead and bless his holy name. Celebrate the name of Jesus. Wherever you are today, celebrate the name of Jesus. Woo! At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. I speak the light of God into every darkness. Darkness, I command you recede right now. I command you stay your hold. Stop in your machinations. Stop in your maneuverings right now. In the name of Jesus, I command every working of the pit of hell. You stop right now. You stop right now. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says they that call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. I want somebody call on the name of Jesus in this house. Somebody call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Wherever you go this week, raise up the banner of the name of Jesus. Something will happen when you call that name. Something must change when you call that name. Every knee must bow when you call that name. Every tongue must confess when you call that name. I'm not talking about some human name. I'm not talking about some wannabe champion. I'm not talking about some religious or political leader. I'm not talking about some silly person somewhere who wants to fill the lives of people with his name. No, no, no. I'm talking about Jesus. That is the only name we are talking about. That is the name that brings deliverance. That is the name that brings salvation. That is the name that brings healing. That is the name that brings restoration. We call the name of Jesus. We call the name of Jesus. We call the name of Jesus. Woo. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I lift up your people before you today. Everyone under the sound of my voice. Someone somewhere is enveloped with darkness. Can't see the way out. Feel trapped. Hopeless. Destitute. Alone. Lord, I invoke the power in the name of Jesus in that situation today to bring them out of the pit of hell. Bring them out of that satanic stronghold. Cause the light of your countenance to break through from the heavens. Cause the light of God to shine through in their situation and bring fresh hope. Bring new life. Bring great grace. Bring deliverance today. Bring a turnaround in that situation. Break the yokes. Destroy the shackles. In the name of Jesus. Bring them into the place of this triumphal entry, where we're singing about the victory of Jesus. Make them a part of this parade, oh God. Let everybody be lifted up, their chests up, off of their lives, oh God. Let every yoke be lifted off of their necks, oh God. Bring them to a place of freedom where they can sing the songs of Zion again. Father God, where they can laugh with joy, real joy. Where they can enjoy the shalom of God. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. We honor you today, oh God. We bless your holy name, oh God. We give you the glory and the praise, oh God.
You alone are deserving. You alone are deserving. Hallelujah. Thank you for our precious Jesus, the one who died for us, who made the ultimate sacrifice for our redemption. It's because of Jesus that our lives are different. It's because of Jesus. You took our feet out of the miry clay, planted them on the rock to stay. It's because of Jesus. We once were blind, but now we see. It's because of Jesus. We once were lost, but now we're found. We once were dead, but now we're made alive, brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory today. We give you the praise. Maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice today, and you want the reality of this redemption in your life too. I know the Lord spoke his word to you clearly. I know the Lord sent you his word today. But I want you to take a step of faith. Wherever you are today, I want you to take a step of faith and meet the Lord as the Lord come out to meet you. Wherever you are, all of us are going to pray this prayer together. But this prayer is really for some people, somebody somewhere. It might be virtual, I don't know. It might be in person, I don't know. Somebody somewhere. You need to take a step of faith today. The Lord sent you his word. I want you to rise up to meet him. All of us will pray this prayer. But you especially need to pray it from your heart. You and the Lord right there where you are. Say this with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today. I acknowledge today that without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nobody. It was Jesus who gave his life on the cross for my redemption. It was Jesus who paid the price, the ultimate price, for my deliverance. Lord, today, I acknowledge my failure. I acknowledge my need. I acknowledge every sin that I've committed against you. I come before you today. On account of the finished work of Calvary, I repent of every waywardness, every way in which I've missed the mark. I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, have mercy on me today. Holy Spirit, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you that I know from this moment onwards, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm redeemed. I give you all the glory, and I give you all the praise. You alone are deserving of it. I say Hosanna to our Lord and risen Christ. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. This will be indeed a season of celebration for you. Hallelujah. To be indeed a season of celebration for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.